You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies, till all my fears are gone. I'm no longer a slave to fears. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. From my mother's womb, you have chosen me. Love has called my name. I've been born family. Your blood flows through my veins. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am
I was one of like the only white people in there, you know, and it was just amazing what God was doing. So it's always an honor when Pastor Lee says to me, hey, would you speak for me? It's always an honor to fill his, or try to fill his pulpit. So they're getting some well-deserved rest. Yes. And you guys believe in rest?
Yes.
Rest is very important. So she was the second, and Amber was the third. And we had a few others, but it wasn't a whole lot of us. But it was the most bizarre thing. You would see a cowboy come in, cow poop on his jeans, the boots, and he'd walk in, a bunch of kids, the backwards hats, the baggy pants, and it was, it's only God, you know? It was God's church. But we've been on a series with the youth, which, by the way, you church, Chosen, if you're here for the first time, I'm the youth pastor of Chosen. and it's going amazing. We were here yesterday tearing up some carpet, because in Jesus' name, soon we're going to be tearing down some walls and making some room for more young people. How many of you guys believe in young people? Yes. My wife and I, we believe they're not the church of tomorrow, they're the church of now. Yes. You know, they are the answer, not the problem, because of Jesus in them. Young people are not a problem. They are the answer because of Jesus. And we believe in them, and it's going amazing. So Pastor Lee said he wanted just me to share some stuff. So we're believing God for a lot. You know, we have a projector, but we're believing God for a computer so we can stop running the words off the tablet, you know. It would be a lot easier on a Wednesday night so we can show videos. How many of you guys know young people love videos?
Yes.
They'll watch YouTube for days, you know, and it's hard to play videos with our current setup. So we're just believing God for a lot. So he wanted me to tell you guys it's going amazing. We've been on a series about fear. You know, and we sing that song in youth church, and it's amazing to see young people singing that. No longer a slave, I'm a child of God. It's amazing. And but we've been on this journey of talking about fear. So when Pastor Lee asked me to speak, I thought, well, let's just speak about the same thing. How many of you guys know, just because it's a message in youth church doesn't mean it's not an adult message, right? Could we all agree on that? And I love how the kingdom of God, see, we think, oh, because if I'm older, I'm mature, right? But in the kingdom of God, I know some young people that are more mature spiritually than some adults.
Right.
Hello?
Yes.
I know some kids that are more spiritually mature than some young people. I love how we think, oh, well, I'm just in the natural, but the kingdom of God flips it. I love it. It challenges. It's like, well, wait a minute. I'm 40. I'm mature. Well, spiritual age has nothing to do with your physical age. You guys following me? So we've been on this journey about fear. And you guys know adults deal with fear. Can we all agree on that? Are you more spiritual than I am?
No.
Okay. I know there was a time back, and kind of some stuff that I talked about in that message with this whole series, but there's something that I was believing God for, and I never had experienced fear. I'm like, man, God is amazing. This is going to happen. And all of a sudden, one day, I started to have this thought. Well, what if it doesn't happen? And first, you know, did what you're supposed to do. Said no in Jesus' name. I don't receive that thought. And it kept coming. And I started to realize and notice that when I had that thought, I could feel fear try to grip me. I could feel it. And I go, no, in Jesus' name, no. How many of you guys know fear is very powerful? I mean, it really, truly is. And it's one of the devil's biggest tools. And I would feel that, and I was like, man, what is going on? So I think sometimes the best things to preach on is what you're going through. That's why we went to a fear series with the youth, because I'm like, well, hey, I'm battling this. Let's go. Let's just talk about it. And so there's a lot that God has reminded me of, God has shown me, and it's amazing how there really is freedom. There really, truly is freedom. And I'm not talking about, like, a fear that, okay, you're afraid of spiders, afraid of roaches, okay? Now, I do believe if God sends you overseas, God can help you with that fear, because you'll need it, all right? But I'm talking about, like, fear of the future, fear of loneliness, fear, maybe some of you have a fear for your children right now. Where are my kids going? And that fear, and we talk about this with the youth, fear blinds you to reality. It makes you think and feel things that are not real. Right. It distorts truth. It distorts reality. And so as I started to have this kind of coming, I would feel it, and it was tangible, because then it starts to make you go, well, those what if questions are dangerous. When there's a promise in here and you start going, well, what if? Dangerous ground. And it wasn't even me thinking. I mean, I've been for years believing God for this and never had this. And all of a sudden, it was just like, boom, what if? And I felt it, and I was like, whoa, what is going on here? What is going on here? Because I believe in Jesus there is freedom. Now, we're specifically talking about fear that this morning, but I believe there is freedom from drugs, alcohol, pornography. There is freedom. The cross equals freedom. What do you need freedom from? He is your answer. In fact, the cross already says you are free. All you have to do is say, Jesus, I believe in the cross. I believe what you did. Now help me to start to walk in the freedom that is already mine. Because it is not, freedom can't be based on your good works. Your relationship with God can't be based on what you do, because then it's faulty. There is no stability. But when it's based on solely what Jesus did, when you're believing God for something, and it's not, well, I have to do good enough so God will give this to me. I know it's in His Word, but I got to do. When we start off with, God, you are so good. You already gave this to me. This is amazing. Let's go to 1 John 4. And we're going to go to 16. You guys can say that we've had church already. Amen. Amen. Now again, we're specifically talking about fear, but I believe whatever we need freedom from, I believe that this is the answer. Okay, so 1 John 4:16. So we have come to know and to believe that the love that God has for us, God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this, love is perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world. Very powerful scripture. As he is. This is what the Bible says about you. As he is, so are you. But notice it doesn't say, oh, you got to do good enough. The cross put a period behind the finished work. Amen. Finished work, period. As he is, so are you.
Yes.
Now, well, I don't see that. Well, that's okay. What you're seeing doesn't take away from what the truth is.
That's right.
Yeah, but you don't know what I've fallen into. You're right, I don't. But it doesn't change who you are in Jesus. That's solid. Who you are is solid in Jesus. Now, if you're looking at who you are based on your performance, you're going to battle some stuff. But when you look at who you are through who the cross says you are, that's life. And that's life in abundance, that Jesus said in John 10:10. I have come to give you life and give you life in abundance. I mean, it's one abundant life. I hope so. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. Has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. That's an amazing scripture right there. If you keep going, well, I messed up, so where is God's love? Listen, he loved you before you did anything good or bad. Let that sink in. He loved you with the same love he has for you right now before you did anything good, before you did anything bad. The promise, the destiny that he gave you when you were born, that was yours. He designed you for that before you did anything good, before you did anything bad. You have not messed up the call of God on your life. You're not that big. compared to the cross, you can't mess up what God has already done.
That's right.
Well, I'm such a screw up. You can't screw it up. You can mess up, but you're not a mess up. Amen. You can screw up, but you're not a screw up. You can fail, but you're not a failure.
Amen.
The cross. Yeah. So we love 1 John 4:18. But perfect love casts out. Sounds very spiritual. Very, oh. But we need 16 and 17 to get to 18.
Yeah, that's right.
We need 16 and 17 to get to 18. Mm-hmm. You know, I've been quoting this scripture for years. Perfect love casts out fear, and I'm still battling. Well, have we gone to 16 and 17? Have we gone? So I want to pull out some words from verse 16. And Bill, you can put verse 16 up and just leave that verse for a minute. I want to pull out some words in this verse. You know, we all know, maybe you don't know, but our Bible was translated from Greek into our English language. Okay? Now, our English language is very small. Let me say what I mean by that, okay? We have one word for love. I love pancakes. I love pizza. I'm a youth pastor. That's part of my diet is pizza. It's like one of my food groups. And Taco Bell. But I just thought of a pizza that Sean may talk about, and I got distracted. Where was I? Just kidding. But, you know, it was translated from Greek into English. We had this one word, I love pizza. And then I go, I love you, Esther. It's the same word. When you read this book, actually, there's like four different words for the word love. See, we just read love, love, love. But there's like four different words that the writers use to explain love. So, a lot of times, not that we lose stuff in translation, but in our English word, we read that and we go, we have known and believed. It's like, okay. And that's powerful. But let me actually tell you what the word known actually means in the Greek. All right? This is powerful stuff right here. That word know means to know, recognize, understand. Now, get you ready for this. You guys ready? Oh, this is going to be exciting. To have sexual relations with. Now, don't get weird, okay? The church has been quiet on sex for a long time, and that's why we are where we are in culture. God made sex. We should be open about it in church. The way that God made it and the boundaries that God made it in is amazing. Come on, married people, where were you at? But that it means to experience, to intimately know the love of God. Not your love for God, God's love for you. You see that? We have known, and the love of God has for us. We have come to intimately, passionately experience this love that God has for us. God's love is meant to be experienced. Have you experienced the love of God? And I'm not just talking about, oh, well, you know what? We didn't have enough money for a bill, and God provided that. That's a byproduct of God's love. And I've been there, and I'm so thankful when God does that. But that's not God proving to me that he loves me. See, if I'm believing God for something, and I'm basing his love for me on if he comes through, that's. God's love for me is based on the cross. We have known the love that God has for us to intimately, passionately understand, recognize. That's powerful. Have you come to experience on an intimate, personal level The love that God has for you. And God does not love some future version of you more than who you are currently. He's not up there like, man, I just can't wait till Ryan gets a little more here. And then I'm going to show him my love. God's like, I love you right now, son. This is awesome stuff. And then that word believed, when you go back and look at that in the original language, it means to trust in, rely on. Trust in, rely on. You will have to trust in and rely on God's love for you. Why? Because there's sometimes you're going to fall flat on your face. And that's when you got, yet means you, that's when you stand up and go, I believe the love that God has for me. I trust in. I rely on. Come on, church. This is powerful. When we get into what this is actually talking about. You know, I remember when we were in the hospital with Jonathan, and I had nurses, doctors saying, sir, you better get ready, sir. He's going to be slow. He's going to need tutors, sir. Are you ready, sir? Because of all that's happened to him, he's going to be slow. He's going to need tutors. Are you ready, sir? And they're like, my wife's right here. They're just like right at me. Are you ready, sir? I'm like, no, I'm not ready for that. My Bible said I don't have to be ready for that, so I'm not ready for that. And I remember, I didn't get all freaked out. You know what I did? And this verse brought me back to that. It made me praise God all over again. But I was like, God, I thank you that you love that little guy. Yes. I thank you that you love him even more than I do. You love him. I thank you that right now, your love's going to be evident. And proven and shown. It wasn't like, oh, God, I think that your love is just going to, now, God, if you don't touch him, then your love's not real. I started with, God, I think that you do love him. And I thank you that right now, your love is just going to be seen. And we were in there for 4 days, and nurses were like, whoa, wait a minute. You're telling me that he had this, like this was going on? Oh, we didn't even know that, because we have a checklist that we would have gone through, and he's got none of that. Are you sure it was this baby? Amen. I'm like, well, yeah. No, I'm not looking at the wrong kid. Yeah, him. No, yeah. It's documented. It's written down. What if we were to start, instead of getting all anxious, oh my gosh, this knee, what if we just, God, thank you. Bask in the love that he already has for us. You don't have to do anything more to get God to love you. That's something I don't think our human brains will ever fully comprehend because it's so different. It's not a human love. Human love, it's, well, if you don't love me, I'm not loving you back. God's like, man, I love you the way that you are. Can you just come and let me love you? Can you just come and let me love you. So we got, and I really want you guys to catch that. And we have come to intimately, passionately experience and rely on, trust in the love that God has for us. God is love. God doesn't love, he is love. See, a lot of times we need more deeper things. We need to get deep in the Word of God. You know what the Bible calls the love of God? The deep things. The Bible says the love of God is deep. It's deep. This needs to be our foundation. Now, Bill, put up verse 17. Love has been perfected among us in this. Now, that word perfected, and when it says perfect love cast out fear in verse 18, what it actually is talking about is grown, matured, complete. Are you following me? Yeah. So we have come to intimately, passionately experience, and we rely on, trust in God's love for us. Love has been perfected. It's grown. We've grown. We've matured. What love are they talking about? God's love for them. Go back to verse 16. No, we've grown in our love for God. I love God. No, it's saying we've grown, matured in God's love for us. Powerful. This right here is your, if you want a formula, I don't believe in a whole lot of formulas, but if you want one, mature in God's love for you. You want freedom from addictions? See, and the thing about fear is you can have a thought of fear or an emotion of fear, but you're not in fear until you give into that thought or that emotion. Some of you need to hear that. Just because you have a thought of depression or an emotion of depression does not mean you are depressed. Until you give into that thought or that emotion. People in this area need to hear that. It's rampant in this area. Depression and suicide. We have so many people that are on medication because they just had a thought. I'm suicidal. No, there's a devil that hates you that's going to try to put some stuff in your mind so you'll get distracted from the truth. Be free. Just because you have a thought of depression does not mean you are depressed. Just because you have a thought or emotion of fear does not mean you're in fear. You're only in fear when you give in to that thought or emotion. Then you become in fear. And fear is binding. It's like, it's prison. It's prison. You guys having fun?
Yes.
So, Let me read what these verses 16 and 17 are saying. When you are experiencing God's love and trusting in God's love for you personally, you grow mature in God's love for you. It is a developed, grown awareness of God's love for you that casts fear away. I'm gonna read. This is what 16 and 17. You want 18? You got to do 16 and 17, which is actually pretty simple. Just bask in God's love for you. Isn't the Bible amazing? We think it's so, people think, oh, it's so complicated. Jesus didn't come to complicate anything. He came to simplify everything. And that includes you experiencing God as Father, as Daddy. And if that makes you mad, I don't apologize for it. He's my dad. That's my relationship with him. I'm dad. All right, I'm not dad. He's dad. I'm son. He's dad. I'm son. That's my relationship. We think, oh, Jesus came so we could get forgiveness of sins. That's a byproduct of the cross. You know what the reason why the cross happened? Because sin was that barrier to a relationship with God. The cross happened so we could have a relationship with Daddy. An intimate, personal. God is a personal God. Your relationship with God might not be mine. That's okay. You got to find your rhythm. What is your rhythm with God? Maybe your rhythm is when you wake up and you pray in the shower. That's your rhythm. Cool. I love going to work driving because my rhythm is like when I'm in the car by myself, that's my time with God. We're talking, I'm listening to a message, like that's me and God time. I love it. What's your rhythm? I love starting out my day with God. I thank you that you love me. I don't have to do anything today to earn your love for me. It's been given to me. It's a gift. It's mine. It'll change how you read this book. It'll change the way that you hear from God. Because just like love is a gift, somebody, I love my son, and I love to, you know, he's one, I love to talk with him. God loves to communicate with you. He loves it. He's not up there like, man, if you just be good enough, I'll give you this. God's like, I want to give you this now. I want you to experience this now. That is amazing. I don't think I'll ever get tired of that. Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing. I think if we're listening, the only one thing that God says all the time, love you, love you, love you, with you, I'm with you. I love getting up in the morning before I do anything. It's just like, before I read the Bible, before God, I thank you that you love me. I'm just quiet. And I let God talk to me. Let him just, I just enjoy relationship. That's what that's saying. Experience personally, intimately, passionately experiencing the love that God has for you. God is meant to be experienced. His love is meant to be experienced. And I'm not just talking about if God supplies a need. That's a byproduct of God's love. That's not God proving he loves you. That's God supplying that need because he loves you. Don't miss that. His love is proven by the cross. It's a done deal. Love is what sent Jesus to the cross. Love. So when you are experiencing God's love and trusting in God's love for you personally, you grow mature in God's love for you. It is a developed, grown awareness of God's love for you that casts out fear. We love to quote verse 18, but it takes 16 and 17 to experience 18. And look how it's not complicated. It's almost like it naturally happens. You experience God's love personally, passionately, intimately. You come to believe and rely on God's love for you. And then you're perfected, grown, matured in his love for you. And that matured knowledge, that matured experience, cast out fear. Verse 18 says, there is no fear in love. In fact, and don't let this be a condemning thing, but it says, if you have fear, you are not matured in God's love for you in that area. Because there is no fear in love. That's not, oh, I'm such a screw. That's like, all I got to do is just bask in his love for me and this will leave. Yes. That's what 16 and 17 are saying. 16 and 17 calls 18. And it's not complicated. In fact, it's just growing that awareness of God's love for you. Isn't that awesome? Yes. I mean, I'm not taking anything that's not there. You go back and look at these, and I challenge you, go back and look at them. Open your Strongs. Look at some of these words in the Greek. It opens up what's being said. I love doing that. It's one of the ways that I Bible study. See where I'm like, what does that mean in the Greek? Get my Strongs out. I'm like, whoa! Like when I saw that word no and I looked that up and I saw to have sexual relations with, that's intimately knowing and experiencing, encountering God's love. Don't get weird with that. But that's what the Holy Spirit through the writer was trying to convey. When you are experiencing, how many guys remember like experiencing something for like the first time? Anybody? You never experienced anything for the first time? I'm watching my one-year-old son, and it's like he's experiencing all of this new stuff, and it's amazing to watch. It's like, and he does, and he goes, ooh, now. The cutest thing ever, you know. He'll see like a chicken, like the chickens with it, and he's like, ooh, you know. He'll see like a light, ooh. Like, dude, it's a light, ooh. And he flips out. it's a light. And I'm like, dude, like, you've seen lights. Ooh, whatever. We own the dogs. He's seen the dog, I don't know how many times. Ooh, dog. Okay. Yeah, it's bear. Ooh. You saw him yesterday all day, but all right. Bears where it's at. But to experience, intimately experience. I remember the first time Jonathan tried sausage. We were at Cracker Barrel. Yeah, say bless, God bless Cracker Barrel. All right. But we were there just, you know, getting some breakfast. And I had some sausage, and so I cut it up, and I gave it to him, and it was like, I mean, literally, in his, he was like, yo. And then when it was all gone, okay, he ate a piece. He just kept wanting it. It was like, come on, that's how the love of God is. We experience, and then we just get to keep tasting. Just get to keep tasting. Every day. And notice how I was the dad in that situation. I'm not going, oh, you need to, son, before you get this piece of sausage, you need to earn it, boy. I already had it cut up, waiting to give to him. I, daddy, was already prepared. I was already prepared. I had it cut up on my plate. When he wanted one, I was like, boom. He wanted more, boom. I mean, he lost his mind over the sausage. You know? That's how God's love is. Listen, your need, God is already prepared for. It has not taken him by surprise. What is your need? Is it the bank account? Whatever. Is it healing? It's already prepared. And because he loves you so much, he's just there to go, take it. But what do you have to do? You got to be grown and mature in his love for you so you will take that. Because if you had the thought, well, I'm not good enough, I messed up, that will cause you to go, there's no confidence there. And where there is no confidence, there is no perfect love. There is no mature, completed love. It's not there. My son, like with us, with my wife and I, he knows when he's hungry, he knows what to do. Mom or dad. And there's no like, well, I haven't been listening today. They're not going to feed me. No. He could take a DVD off the TV stand, and I gotta tell him no, and then he'll go, and then he'll point to a veggie stick, that, and I'm like, ready to give it to him. And God's love for you is amazing. It is powerful. And he loves you the way that you walked in this place today. You can experience his presence, his love, not because of who you are, but because of who he is and what he did. This needs to be our home. This needs to be where we live from. In fact, in John 15, where he's talking about, I am the vine, you are the branches. You remember that? In John 15, 9, it says, abide in my love. When you go back and look at that word abide in the original, it actually means to make yourself at home in. To make yourself at home in. Are you comfortable with God's love? Yeah. Have you experienced it intimately, personally? This is where we need to make our home. We need to dwell. We've all traveled. How many of you guys know when you travel, there is nothing like coming back to home? Amen. You just walk in, you're just like, you ever been there? Yes. You know, even your bathroom, your toilet, it's yours. It's comfortable. You don't have to worry about anything on that toilet. In fact, if there's anything on it, it doesn't freak you out. I don't care about that hair. It's mine. And you can use it. It's comfortable. Let's be real. It's comfortable. To be comfortable. To make yourself at home in. Are you at home in God's love for you? Is that your dwelling place? Or is your dwelling place your performance? Listen, this is Pastor Ryan saying, you're going to mess up. You're going to fail. That's not me prophesying negative. That's, hey, guys, listen, you're going to mess up. And if you base how God loves you based on your performance, it'll be faulty. See, the way for love to be grown and matured, comfortable. Is to be comfortable. And it's not just a human love, guys. I get it. We think of the word love. Some of us have crazy stories. Crazy stories. And so when we hear the word love, that kind of throws us back a little bit. Okay? I remember the night that my dad got kicked out of my house. Okay? It was a bad, bad night. I remember. Okay, and then I saw my mom remarry, saw my dad remarry, get divorced again. Now he's remarried. And so before I got saved, I had a fear of marriage. I didn't want to get married. I was in the world, living in the world, but I did not date. Because I didn't want to be in a relationship where I was going to get hurt or experience the pain that I saw on my parents' face and in my younger siblings' face. I didn't want to experience that. So I said, man, I ain't dating nobody. I would have girls say, hey, will you go to do the dance with me? I said, no. I'll dance. I wasn't saved, so don't judge me. I was like, I will dance with you there, though. I'll dance with you there, but I'm not going strictly with you because that might mean I might experience some stuff later on. I don't want that. Because I started to experience God's love for me on a personal level. And my eyes were opened to what God actually says marriage is. And I saw examples of marriage. I was like, whoa, now that I might be able to actually do. As a 17, Pastor Kenny, Betsy, Jason, Thais, Pastor Lee and Jackie, I was like, man, well, I could do that. I could do that. I don't remember when that fear left. I can't tell you it was this day at this time and this year. I can't tell you that. I just know that one day I realized it wasn't there anymore. That will happen. Stop worrying about your fear and just grow in God's love for you. That's what verse 18 says. It is the matured love that God has, and that knowledge and experiencing that cast out fear. Grow in God's love for you. Grow in God's love for you. Abide in his love, as he said in John 15:9. Make your home there. Make your home. I'm telling you, it changes everything. I spent years bound. I was raised Catholic, okay? Went to a Catholic school for pre-K to seventh grade, and because of the divorce and they couldn't afford it anymore, I went to a public school. So that was a long time. I was an altar boy. I was raised Catholic. I was bound in religion. There is no freedom in religion. And what I'm talking about today isn't religion. I know it's become cliche, which is sad, but it's not about religion, it's about relationship. And in relationship is where you do experience that love for God. If you're not experiencing that, then there is no relationship. In marriage, I'm with Esther, I'm experiencing love. And that's why, like, I don't have a fear that Esther and I are going to get a divorce. There's no fear in me or her at all. And I can say I love her more today than I did in August. It'll be 10 years being married. I can say I love her more now. Why? Because that love has grown. It's matured, which means there's more confidence in it. God actually uses it in the Bible to express our relationship with him as married. The more you grow in his love, the more confidence there is. And things may come up, because Jesus said, hey, you're going to experience tribulation. I'm not up here, and either will pass truly. Oh, if you get saved, you give your life to God, you grow in his love, you'll never experience another hard day in your life. No. And that's not what Jesus said. He said, look, you will, we all know what will means, experience tribulation, but you can be of good cheer because I have overcome the world. See, what will cause you, I know I've said it before, but one of my biggest prayers, I know it doesn't sound very spiritual, but it's my prayer. I want to be steady. Paul had a lot to talk about being steady. See, emotions, and just, I remember this, just because you have an emotion does not mean you have to give in to that emotion. You have authority over those emotions. You got a feeling of sadness? Talk to it. Say, no, the joy of the Lord is my strength. And you won't fall into that sadness. We can't. Freedom. Perfect love. Cast. Gets rid of. It's not, God is, Jesus is not a band-aid. He's the cure. He's not an aspirin. Oh, you got a little problem. God's like, no. It's not a band-aid. It's not a temporary solution. It is freedom to where you don't even experience that no longer. There is freedom. You've heard about some of it today. Freedom from drugs, from alcohol. And some type of drugs where people say it's almost impossible to get off. Are you sure about that? Impossible? Really? Really? It's possible with God. Amen. But I think that they would agree with this. You know, when they, as they've grown and matured in God's love for them, things were cast off. Amen. Not in their love for God. Did you catch that? Yeah. It has to be God's love for you. We need to grow, mature, recognize, understand, be aware of God's love for us. And by this, love is perfected. And then it's this perfect, mature love that casts out fear. 18 is not hard to experience. It's just doing 16 and 17 that are also very easy. Have you experienced the love of God? Because you would know if you have, like my son with sausage. He knows what sausage is now. And whenever he looks at it, Dad, he can't say salt, but he can say that. In fact, yesterday, we had eggs, we had toast, and we had bacon. And he just looks at the bacon, Dad. It's like, that's my boy. They didn't want the eggs, the bread. He's like, give me that meat. It's like, yes. But he knows. He knows. I love how, and even on Friday, I'm a teacher, so I've been on spring break, and so on Friday, Jonathan started to have this cough, and his nose was running. Gross. you know. But he was real needy. And I remember on Friday, you could tell he just wasn't feeling right. You know what he did? I was on the couch, he just comes up. And we're working on him saying, Dada. Okay, he calls me Mama too. I don't like it. I don't like it. That's when I go, if you want this, say Dada. Just kidding. Not really. I do. You want this sausage? Say Dada. Mama, say Dada. You want this? You better say Dada right now. Right now. Mama, I love you. Here you go. But I'm sitting on the couch, and he just comes up, and he just goes, oh, Mama. Boogers, I mean, just got all of my pants. You know, I was like, what are you doing? And I pick him up, and he just sat right there. Just sat there for like a half an hour. Didn't fall asleep. We watched Baby Einstein. He was just chilling. And I'm rubbing his head. And he's just there. He's just enjoying the relationship. What if we were to do that? Are you enjoying God's relationship with you? Are you enjoying it? Or is it, well, you know what? I didn't read enough of the Word of God today. I don't feel good about myself. I didn't pray enough. I didn't pray for an hour. If you pray for an hour and then you leave the house and never talk to God the rest of the day, you're doing prayer wrong in the first place. Paul said we need to pray continuously. That means all day. We should be praying, talking. Why? It's just communication. You're having a tough time? Go to say, God, man, that was tough. I need your help, God. Just thank you that you're with me. Talk to God. This needs to be our home. You want to be a successful Christian? You want to enjoy this Jesus life? This is where it starts, enjoying relationship. In fact, and if you want to know, well, what does God have for me? Maybe some of you are afraid of the future. Well, I don't know what God has for me. What is God calling me to do? Let me tell you something. Enjoy relationship, experience intimacy, and that will produce ministry. When you are experiencing intimacy, ministry will happen. You won't have to go find it. You'll be at your job and people will go, there's something different about you. Can you pray for me? Let's go. You be in Safeway? I hate Safeway. Good night. I hate it. I hate shopping in general, but that place is like it's like a time warp. You know, I don't know what it is. You know, but you know what? God has even changed my view on that. I mean, one day I was literally driving from work to Safeway. I was complaining the entire time. It's like, I don't want to go in this place, man. If I see anybody I know, I want to just go home. I don't want to talk to anybody. That's not a Christian attitude. Hello. You know, but we all have the attitude. I'm like, I don't want to go in there. And I went in there. It should have taken me 20 minutes. And then it even takes longer now because they got rid of the self-checkout and they make people check you out. Makes me mad. I got to pray before I go in there. I got to get built up. I hate it. I'm like, I could get out by myself when I checked out faster. Now you take those away and just put two lanes. What is wrong with you, Safeway? have you guys been there? But I remember I was just complaining the entire time. Had a bad attitude. And I got in there and literally ran into three people that I know. It took me 2 hours to get out of Safeway. But it was people that were like, hey, man, I'm going through a tough time. There was like youth that used to come here, somebody that used to come to church that remembered me, and just three different people. Hey, man, I've been going through a tough time. It was this girl, my boyfriend recently pulled a gun on me, and it was scary. And I was just, I don't know what was going on in my life. And I was able to pray with her in the frozen food section. Three different people. God, we should want to be used anywhere. Yes. Safeway is a mission field. Yes. At least for me. Because it's like, and then you go to Walmart. Walmart's worse. It's bigger. And then everyone is different. Like, I go into one, the baby steps on this section, so I go into this section, and I'm like, it's over there now. If I'm in the other Walmart, I got to go all the way on the other side. It's so frustrating. I don't do well shopping. Okay, I don't. It's not my spiritual gift. Okay, I can't stand it. But what if we were to change our opinions? You know what changes your view on things? The love that God has for you. That will renew. Last time I was up here, I talked about renewing your mind, changing how you think. You don't know where you start? God's love for you. God's love for you will open this up. Well, I just don't understand this when I'm opening this. Well, hold on. This book says you have a teacher already inside you that wants to teach you all things. And God loves you, so he wants you to understand this book. Open it up. And you know what? If you don't read a chapter, that's okay. What if you just got a verse and meditated on that verse, thought about that verse, munched on it, chewed on it all day? What if you were to start just to, and we are in such a time where you could go on Google and go, scriptures on fear. Boom! Scriptures on God's love. And you can just get all these scriptures. Just read them. Just read them over and over and over again. You know, I told you in the beginning that I started to have this battle, like fear started to come in and try to grip me. You know what I did? I went to God first. I said, God, I know this keep happening and I'm battling it, but what's the deal, God? Help me. And then I went to the same three scriptures for about like a week. I didn't read 5 chapters, 10 chapters, anyway. I just read those same three scriptures for a week. That was my Bible study time. Okay, this one, this one, this one. For a week. And guess what? I experienced verse 18. I can't tell you when. It just happened. Who cares about if you can say when? I don't know when it happened. That's exciting to me. You look up and you go, whoa, I was once there, but now I'm here. That's amazing. God wants you to grow. God wants you to mature, to grow in confidence in his love for you. And it is that perfect, matured understanding, experiencing that will cast out fear, that will cast out addictions, that will cast out, fill in that blank. Fill it in. Your marriage going through a tough time? Hone in on God's love for you. Hone in on God's love for you. Stop saying, why? If that person would just change. We've all been there. Let's be honest. If you're married, you've been there. If she would just stop making me late. I'm an open book, man. I don't try to hide anything, okay? But what if we were to stop just changing the other person and just hone in on God's love for you? Start to change your view on the other person. God's love will change your view on people. People shouldn't be a hindrance. Read the Gospels. Jesus was constantly interrupted. He had a guy come, say, hey, man, my daughter, she's really sick right now. Can you just come? He's like, yeah, let's go. So they start walking, and the woman with the issue of blood comes up and touches the hem of his garment and gets healed. And Jesus stops. Now, this dad is next to, sometimes you got to read the Bible and actually really picture what's going on. I haven't been a dad for very long, but I know, like, if I was next to Jesus leading him to my house, because my son was sick and dying, and he stopped, I'd be like, bro, can we just keep it going? And he just didn't even, he just turned around and go, who touched me? And his disciples were like, Jesus, like, you're in a crowd. What do you mean, who touched you? Are you okay? You need some water? You hot? Get a little hot? Because there's a lot of people here. Anybody could have touched you. He goes, no. No, something happened here. And the girl, the woman, comes up, issue of blood for 12 years. Now, if you get back into their law, she should have been killed because she had an issue of blood. There was bleeding, which means she was unclean, and she was not allowed to be in public. In fact, she should have been yelling, unclean, 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 because if anybody touched her, according to law, they became unclean. You can't get to Jesus or experience his love through law. Because if she was trying to get to Jesus through law, she would have never got there. Ever. People wouldn't have let her. They would not have let her. They would have killed her. She comes up and she goes, hey, it was me. And scripture says she was scared. And Jesus goes, your faith has made you whole, girl. Go on. Take it. Now imagine the dad. Dad's like, oh, my daughter's definitely, oh, come on, Jesus, come on. This is getting good now. Come on. And someone comes and goes, hey, don't bother him anymore. Your daughter's dead. Don't bug him anymore. And Jesus, it says that he was talking to the woman with the issue of blood, facing her, and he immediately stops and goes, do not fear, but believe. Do not fear, but believe. Stops talking to the woman with the issue of blood and talks to him. Do not fear, but believe. And at that moment, he had a choice. What am I going to believe? In him, who I've heard about and I just saw, or this fear? This emotion, this grief, which would be natural. Yeah. But just because it's natural doesn't mean that we have to give into it. Right. If you experience a loss like that, it is painful. But you don't have to stay there. Are you following me?
Yeah.
Perfect love casts out fear. Perfect love casts out addictions. Perfect love, fill in that blank. But 16 and 17 are saying it's an experienced and a relied in on love. It's not, well, I believe in God's love. No, it's a daily saying, God, I rely on this love that you have for me. I rely on it. Because then you're going to get up and you're going to trip, fall flat on your face, and you got to go, I rely on your love for me, and keep going. Because if you trip and you fall flat on your face and you question, there's no freedom there. And you cannot judge God's love for you based on circumstances. You judge God's love for you based on the cross. It's the cross. The cross equals love. The cross equals love. It was love that sent him there. It was love that nailed him up there. It was love for you. When he was on that cross, and man, it was painful. I mean, Jesus went through some crazy, crazy stuff. I mean, beard pull out. I mean, I get this caught in a zipper and I'm crying. It hurts. He was made fun of. Prophesy, prophet, who punched you? Made fun of? Didn't say a word. Jesus was the definition of a real G. I mean, getting punched, getting made fun of. Prophesy, prophet. Just stood there. I'm taking this for them. I'm taking it for them. The cross equals love. The definition of God's love is the cross. That proves God's love for you. Not him doing something for you now. That's a byproduct of the cross. I don't believe just my son is the way that he is now. That's not, oh, God's proving his love to me. No. The cross proved God's love for me. That's a byproduct. It's because God loved me, my wife, and him so much that happened. It's because, now, think about your situation, your needs. Because God loved you so much, he, think about it. So if you have fear in an area, you have not matured in God's love for you in that area. That's what verse 18 says. Doesn't it? We started off there. It does. That's not condemning. That's where light bulbs should go on and go, oh, there is freedom. All I got to do is just grow in his love for me. That's amazing. The way you judge God's love for you is not by circumstances. It's by the cross. Are you believing God for your children? To come back to God, to serve God? Grow and mature in that area. No, because God loves you and loves them. God is chasing them down. Where they are. In the middle of a drug high. God is there. God doesn't flee because, oh, they're taking heroin. I'm out. God's like, okay, come on, man. We're going to get through this. What if you were to see God as that loving dad working on behalf of your kids, your grandkids? Well, they're in jail. Okay. God will meet them there.
Right. Amen.
There's tons of stories about God interfering in a drug high and breaking people out of it where they're so sober and they're like, I can't deny this love. One of my good friends back in Florida was on an acid trip while the U Church is praying. Yeah. Pastor Lee is praying. God, we just think that that kid in that drug high, that he would come out now in Jesus' name. And at that moment, there was a kid named Ben in the middle of an acid trip with a knife, with a plan to kill his mom, his dad, and his sister. At that moment. Don't tell me God isn't love. He was on this acid trip. And he started to like, whoa, and he came out, and he was totally like he was never on it. And he called the only guy that he knew, a pastor, that at that time was actually in bed with another woman. And he told Ben, say, Ben, look, man, I'm myself. I'm a mess right now. I can't. And God, and Ben goes, no, you need to tell me how to be saved. And God worked through that guy. You haven't missed God's plan for you yet. What mess are you in? He'll turn it into your message. You haven't missed it. Ben gave his life through somebody that was backslidden in bed, was a pastor, not his wife, wasn't married to her, and that's who Ben called. God is amazing. God is chasing you down. God is chasing your kids down. There's stories in the Bible just like that. Read about Moses. Moses was amazing. I want to be used like Moses. You know, Moses left going to Egypt to free the people, but he left in an argument with his wife. Read it. He was mad. I don't want you to go. He's like, see, all the movies you read is that the wife was, yes, Moses, I'm with you. Go, Moses. But this, they argued about it. Did that stop God from moving?
No.
Where are you at? Well, you don't know what mess I'm in. Yeah, you're right, I don't. God does. And he's not afraid of it. He's not put back by it. The cross and God's love is drawn to it. In weakness, you are made strong. We need to stop acting like we got it all together and be real. Hey, I need you to pray for me. I'm having this issue. We need to be real. It's in weakness that he is made strong. What's your weakness today? Are you ashamed of it? Stop. Let God's love be proven strong. How do you do it? Just, God, you love me in this right now. And you know what's crazy is he's with you and will still move through you. I'm going to read some verses on God's love. I'm challenging you guys this week. I don't care if you've been saved for 20 years or 10 minutes. This needs to be home. This needs to be home. I'm going to read these verses. Romans 5:8. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Let these verses just minister to you. Let's grow and mature in his love for us. But God, aren't you glad for the but gods? I'm so thankful. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. By unmerited favor. You cannot earn it. Stop trying to earn it, and you'll experience it. Yeah. The second you rest and say, this is who I am, this is what God did for me, you'll experience it. 1 John 4:9-11. In this the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. We also ought to love one another. So if the prayer team can come up. Man, God's love is amazing, guys. And it is meant to be experienced on a daily basis, every second, every minute. Every second, every minute. Please all to close your eyes. Bow your heads. I want no one looking around. We thank you for your love that is freely given. I just want to ask, is there anybody who's in this room who's having trouble believing that God loves them the way that they are? You can just raise your hand. That's a serious question. Do you believe that God loves you now the way you are currently, presently, in your faults and everything? You believe God's love for you now? Saw some hands raised. I'm just going to pray for those hands that were raised. Church, pray with me. God, I thank you for the ones that raised their hands and the ones that didn't but wanted to. Their hands were raised on the inside. You still saw their heart, God. And I pray that you would just reveal your love to them, something you love to do more and more and more. Let them be encouraged. Let them be encouraged in your love for them. In Jesus' name, let the power of your love be revealed as they open your word. Go back into the scriptures that we talked about today. I thank you that they will experience your abundant life through your amazing love. Now, all eyes closed, heads bowed. We never want to not do this. But if you're here and you say, you know what, I want to give my life to God this morning. I want to experience this amazing love. I want to know that I'm forgiven. I want to make sure. I want to know that I'm right with God, that I'm in God's family. If that's you, I want you to raise your hands. Might be all of us in here. That's fine. So I'm going to pray, and we could all stand. I'm going to pray, and then as soon as we're done praying, church, you guys are dismissed. We do have our prayer team up here. If you have a need, I encourage you to come up and agree.